Hello, guys. Welcome to a brand new episode of Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And guys, welcome. This is our 500th time trying to introduce you to the time and as hell. Okay, guys, bear with us.
And hot.
Yeah, just a lot Eugene's going on. In a whole other country, hot as hell. I am still in London, depressed, cold, and tired. So
I'm sorry,
we're pushing
man.
Through. No, it's all good. This is the reality.
I really appreciate it because I literally reached out to you like what Monday or was it Sunday?
I think it was Sunday.
Yeah,
and I did read my message thinking this nigga. I have a very busy week, and I was like. All right, let's just squeeze in Thursday.
I'm so sorry, man. But I appreciate you. I appreciate
it. It makes sense for us to record anyways. You were right. I think that's what I couldn't get too upset. I was like, you know what? It makes sense.
Thank you. So yeah, obviously we're here doing this special edition of the show in celebration of the Labour Cup and Team World's win. And just the significance because two of our guys were, you know, the kind of the main protagonists. And main players, you could say, in terms of getting the wins that they needed to get in order for Team World to win. But before we get into it, obviously this was Federer's last official match as a professional. Your GOAT, Lucy. How did you feel about that? And my bad.
Thank you very much.
how did you feel going into the event and all the emotions that kind of led up to it and also after the final match, which we'll talk about, but
the start, before the event start actually started, I wasn't too happy, mainly because of the cost of those tickets. Like, we need to have a serious discussion.
Yeah, that's
about
a great shout.
Those ticket prices. It was crazy. And I think I even said it on the pod or to you privately. I can't remember. I was saying he announced it. That means he announced, when Roger announced that, you know, who's going to be the tournament was going to be his last one and everything. I said to myself and to you, the ticket's going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to sell out quick. And it was actually the complete opposite. But it just really shows to you the reality of, you know, what we're actually all going through. Now, around the world, we're all dealing with things increasing. But in the UK, it is 100 times worse because what people tend to forget is that we are dealing with two pandemics, COVID and Brexit, and then our shitty government just doing whatever. Do you get what I mean?
Come through, Lucy, with the political commentary.
Listen, it's very rare for me, but that's how you know that I was hurt that I could not afford those damn tickets, okay? But I wasn't the only one. Do you know what? This is not really an opinion. This is a fact. Fans were complaining, and it's very unfortunate because especially for Federer to beat for his last tournament, that to be for his last tournament, yet his hardcore fans or even normal tennis fans can't go. Because when I look at that tournament, I look at a place where rich people who didn't get Wimbledon tickets or who didn't have time to go Wimbledon or go in quickly and show to their rich friends and, you know, clink, clink, champagne. Do you get what I mean? But it also shows to you, I don't want to do it, but I'm always going to do it. Anyone who listens to Joe Budden podcast, for instance, Rory Amore, knows that the fans always get at them whenever they mention Jay-Z. And I feel like listeners might do the same with me with Serena. But the reason why I'm going to compare to Serena is because the tickets in US at the US Open were increasing like crazy, but they were still selling out.
As in the price of the tickets.
The price of the tickets were increasing like crazy, as in it was even more than what we're seeing here.
Interesting.
But the tickets were selling out. Not for Roger Federer, though.
On that, though, Lucy, because I don't know if you saw Tomane's tweets after. So on the Sunday, he did tweet, and I did retweet them on our account. So I'll just read them to you. The Labour Cup was clearly a success. It is entertaining, fascinating to see top players coach each other. And a breather from the weekly stress, intensity and stakes of the tour. But the ticket prices were extortionate and priced out too many fans. And I was like, well, he was obviously there covering the event for The Guardian. So he would have seen the full 3 days in terms of like people coming through the gates. And it did look quite busy, like on the TV. But like you said, in terms of buying tickets online, there were still quite a few available.
Yo, I was so shocked when I logged in and I was just seeing hella tickets out there. And I was just like, this is crazy. And the craziest thing is, it wouldn't be the case if the ticket prices were cheaper. Do you get what I mean? Like, shit would have at least, you know, thing like a lot more. But I understand, you know, venues, they've increased their prices because, you know, cost of living, the energy bills are going high, not just in homes, even in venues. Some venues in the UK are closing down, or they've increased their prices for the tickets because they need to, you know, move that money around so they can covers the energy bill. And we're talking about the O2 Arena. So I get it, but it's just unfortunate. That's why I wish that I was in his last tournament, because I don't feel like it should be a tournament where there are not the real tennis fans. I feel realest tennis fans are the ones who can't even really afford a ticket. But to be honest, one day, this is not even just a discussion about this tournament specifically. There's definitely to be a discussion about why this sport is so fucking expensive, whether you're a fan or you're a player or whatever facts. It is. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's unfortunate that I could not pick up my phone and buy a ticket and then just go when it was literally round the corner. Like, I just took a train and I've been at O2 Arena and would be done. Do you get what I mean? But again, I think it's really more a tournament because the ATP finals used to be there, and the ATP finals, I don't think I've ever paid for more than like £70 for a ticket.
It's still a lot of money, but so,
I don't know, but it's still a lot of money, exactly. I think once I saw Federer there, funny enough, for like £50, and I was sitting next to Jesus, so it is what it is. But besides all of that, I wasn't that emotional regarding Federer leaving.
Interesting.
Compared to Serena. But do you know what it is? I think it's because, you know, I always said this, like, when I kept on hearing fans or non-tennis fans talking about, oh, Federer and Serena should retire, they always mentioned Serena more than Federer. And I always used to go back and say, guys, I feel like Federer's going to go way before her. Like, I felt like Serena definitely had more chances of winning stuff than Federer, because Federer was more of a actual physical thing as well.
Yeah.
Like, at least, like, Serena was able to go there and fight. Like, Federer was a thing where his knee was just gone. Do you get what I mean? And
also, he's not known as a doubles player. Like, so it was unfortunate
that's what I'm saying. Do you get what I mean?
Even though it was special to see him with Nadal, but yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he didn't want to do that, but I won't be surprised if it's a thing where his doctor was like, bro, you might need to change this to a doubles thing. You can't be running, because one thing about these young players are going to make you old niggas run. Do you get what I mean? And rightfully so. Listen, this is Federer last time on court. I want to be the last person to say, yeah, I beat him. Do you get what I mean? So I get it. But it was a nice farewell, because it was done as a team, you know. I think what I love the most about it is us seeing actually how close him and Nadal are. Like, this is crazy. But he did explain in one of his press conference that, you know, at the beginning it wasn't like this. Like, we were actually rivals, and then as we got older and then we saw both of our impact, we became closer. So that shows you how real their friendship is, that it was definitely a thing where they just naturally grew. And then, you know, it gets to a point where you're like in your late 30s and you're looking at each other thinking, damn, like, look what we've done. Look how these young people looking up to us. Look how we changed the game. It was a little bit like when Serena, Venus, and Maria took the picture at the Met Gala.
Do
you know what I mean? I personally, as much, obviously we love Serena and stuff, but I loved seeing that, because I know they're probably just laughing, feel like, when we post this pic, the fans are going to go crazy. They're not dumb people. They know what they're doing. Do you get what I mean? But I'm pretty sure, you know, they're looking at, you see them and you're thinking tennis royalty.
And the respect they have for each other as well. It's exactly. Just nice. It's nice to see.
Yeah, but
go on, no, sorry, finish.
No, go on.
No, I was just going to say, like, before we get into, like, the tennis, I do want to talk about, like, the events prior. So, like, the gala. Was it a gala? It was a gala before the actual event started. because yeah, obviously there were like a lot of pictures and like just footage that came out from that, which I loved like seeing. But yeah, like I was pleasantly surprised to see like the girlfriends of the players there as well, which I thought was a really nice touch. And obviously, yeah, Frances.
Yeah, there was there. There was pictures of all four of them. It was Frances' girl, Felix's girl, Fritz's girl, and there was one more, someone's girlfriend, maybe I can't remember.
Diego Schwartzman.
I think so.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But yeah, it was very, there's a picture of four of them. It was actually really nice.
Yeah, yeah, all glammed up. Because it was like a, you know, tuxedo, black tie kind of event. Very flashy. But yeah, like just things like that as well. It's just, obviously tennis, as we've said on this pod so many times, it's a predominantly white sport. So like to see an event like that, and then you've got black players, obviously with Francis particularly, specifically his black girlfriend, like it's powerful. Like that was a really powerful image.
Definitely.
And that's the one we led with when we posted about the gala. So that was really, really like good to see. And I liked what you said as well about like how you've not seen any footage like from or of Team World. It was just all Team Europe, big four. And obviously it was special for them to be there. But yeah, like, again, that's why we exist, because we're shining a light on, you know, the underrepresented, you know, in the sport. So, and they were beautiful images. So I'm very, very happy that we posted them. And like, there was a nice reaction as well, like on our social channels, which was good to see too.
Very like, nice saying, reaction, because people couldn't find us. I mean, I don't even know if you want me to say this, but they even reached out to us to ask them for us to send them the actual pictures. They couldn't even find. Can you imagine? Players are asking us like, oh, can you send me this picture? Because they can't even find the pictures of themselves on the... from the gala. So that just shows you how much like our platform is like so important, because why am I chasing looking around for pictures? And then when, and this actually just answers to the people who get upset with the idea of this platform saying, oh, if I say only white it's been global, would you do that?
Forget,
no, because that's everywhere. That. That's tennis media for you. So do you but, get what
yeah,
I
no,
mean?
No, but definitely.
But yeah, they looked nice, all of them. The gala was nice, but definitely would have been nice to see everyone else rather than just Team World. But I get it at the same time. Don't get me wrong, I get it.
So you mean Team Europe? Last,
Team Europe, sorry, yeah. But yeah. You know what? I get it. You know, it was Federer last moment with the guys, you know, and they want to get the engagement and stuff. So I get it. It is.
To the actual match now. So it was obviously Roger Federer teaming up with Rafa Nadal, and they took on Jack Sock and Francis Tiafoe. A very, very entertaining match, and a lot kind of happened afterwards as well, which we'll get into. Unfortunately, like we need to talk about it, but the match itself, I thought really good effort from Sock and Tiafoe. Like, and I think Federer would have appreciated that too, in terms of like the way they were giving it their all. Like, it wasn't a thing of like this is Federer's last match, let's just like let him win, because I think as a professional, that's the worst kind of match you can play or like competing in. You want to play a match, and you want your opponent to basically be playing to win, not to be letting you win or like making it easy for you. So yeah, like basically a lot of people lost like were losing their shit basically when TFO was hitting some body shots, which is you know, that's a standard regular tactic like in doubles and in tennis in general, to be fair. Like in singles, like if a player goes to the net, the player at the baseline is well within their rights to hit, to literally aim for the body. And you see that occasionally. But yeah, basically it just got blown out of proportion, like horribly, and turned like racist and like quite horrible. And just really just unnecessary. There's absolutely no need, or there was no need for it to get to that point. But sadly it did. I didn't want to post anything in terms of on our platform, in terms of like to show the racist abuse, but people were talking, oh my God, like if you go to TFO's page, you can see like all the comments and his Instagram page mainly. There was like
even
so
Twitter
many,
as well. When you typed in TFO that day, after,
to be fair,
that's how I clocked the tweets were even, I didn't even realize people were even that upset.
Yeah.
So obviously I don't follow any racist people, but you type in TFO and that's all you literally saw. And you saw them in English, Spanish, Japanese, whatever you call it, whatever language. These people were going at it. And I was just like, are you guys serious?
Really unfortunate. And then also as well, which you kind of touched upon earlier, like the Laver Cup, they're not playing for ranking points. Mm-hmm. In essence, it's pretty much a glorified exhibition. But, mm-hmm. you know, the ATP are behind it. They, you know, they publish like results on the website and stuff. Like it is a proper ATP like sanctioned tournament, which it mm-hmm. is to some extent. But like I said, there's no ranking points. So, but at the same time, Lucy, like Team World have never won. So I think it's been going fifth edition. And yeah, Team Europe have always just like wiped the floor with Team World. And mm-hmm. you know, rightly so. They've got Nadal, Djokovic, Federer, like best of flipping the big three. Murray exactly. was on the side this year for the first time in terms of having all four of them, which was nice. But I just thought it was really good in terms of like how, yeah, Team World are like, you know what, they've got obviously the big four there. Mm-hmm. Some people have an issue with the name Big Four as well, which is quite funny. But yeah, like Team World really took it to them. And I was like, yeah, good on you lot. And it was just great to see, like I said, TFO and Felix Auger-Aliassime being mm-hmm. the main guys to get huge singles wins. TFO also got a nice doubles win as well with Jack Sock, as did TFO. I mean, Auger-Aliassime got a nice doubles win with Sock, as did TFO. But yeah, the singles performances from both of them were just incredible and just mm-hmm. just a great sight, basically. And that's why I wanted to do the pod, like, because I want to celebrate that.
Facts, we deserve it.
I mean, what did you make of, back to the doubles match, just quickly, like when TFO, because did you watch? Like
a bit here and there, because I was busy.
So did you see TFO when he hit the ball at Federer and it hit Federer's arm? Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I saw the clips.
Okay. And what did you make of that when you saw it?
What is there to make of it?
This is what I'm saying. Exactly.
What is there to make of it?
Like, and then also as well, which I thought was really telling, like, so the crowd were like booing TFO after, and Federer was like, as in stop, as in telling the crowd to stop.
I think that's what makes me laugh is that even like the Roger Federer fans or those who are upset, like Federer even probably looking at all of you guys thinking you guys are fucking clowns, like I don't want this any, like can you like stop being idiots, like I don't get it. So I don't even know why they're just doing all of that, but they get, like I said in the initial tweet, you guys can get mad from Monday to Monday, from January to December, because it does not change the fact that he beat him. Like I don't get it.
I think you did tweet this on Blackspin, but you were like, oh yeah, basically TFO is just taking out the whole big three in terms of, well,
listen, I was like he took out the fact that he beat two out of three. And do you know what annoyed me about that is that when I tweeted that, a lot of people were like, well, yeah,
it's an exhibition, it doesn't mean anything.
And I was like, oh, so now being the big threes don't mean anything. I did not know. Sorry. I was unaware that now, out of nowhere, beating the big threes is not a big thing. Like, I was just like, really? Oh, you motherfuckers ain't shit. Like, honestly.
But no, it was mad. It was crazy to see. But like, yeah, I applaud Sock and TFO for playing the way they did. Because, yeah, they were playing to win. And they ultimately they did win. Obviously, it was unfortunate for Federer that his last match ended in defeat. But really and truly, his last official match was really Wimbledon when he lost to Hurkacz.
Is a match that people should be upset about.
Yeah.
Not a Laver Cup in bloody London in September, doubles match, where they're all just having fun, where he literally just came to say goodbye. That guy could have written a letter and gone home and stay home with his wife and his kids. But he came to play one last time for you people, and you're complaining and whining and whatnot. So all these players have been retiring this entire this last couple of years. They've all lost and retired. I don't see any of you guys complaining. No one were out here messaging Angela when she was dragging my goat up and down the court at the US Open. No one was doing that. No one was complaining to Sock at all. So there was literally someone who did a comparison on Twitter.
Yeah, I did see
of
that.
TFO's like Instagram and Sock's Instagram. And I was just like, you will literally think, yeah, of the comments. Yeah. And you see how people were attacking him compared to Sock. And That's why I even tweeted. I was like, you would literally think that the match was Nadal and Federer versus Tiafoe with the way people are going on. And then, do you know what annoys me the most is when you tell, when you then you call them racist or say that you mentioned the race, they start getting upset. And I'm like, you literally started it, or you made it about race. I didn't. I did not make it about race. I was busy celebrating, and you told me it wasn't a big deal because he hit Fingy, because you're just mad that a black man just, you know. But this just makes me think, as much as it was great seeing him win that night, it was scary for me because all I kept thinking was, how is it going to be when he actually starts winning them titles?
It's a great point. Yeah.
It's going to be a celebration for us, but then I have to spend my entire night blocking all of these negative comments out of my TL because these racist people are going to get mad that a black man is winning. So we need to get mentally prepared for that.
100%. It's a great shout.
And very sad. It's a mental toll that I don't think, very sad. It's sad that I have to mentally prepare myself for the racist tweets that are going to come for the day that, you know, Tiafoe wins. They hate seeing black people looking confident and happy and winning. So hence why they were acting the way they were acting. Someone even made that tweet as well. And I'm just like, literally, that's the first thing. I was just like, wait, so hold on. So this is just an exhibition. Like, what the fuck is going to happen when this guy starts winning? It's actually going to be crazy. So yeah, I'm going to be tweeting a lot from my account, cussing the races out, because I know like chaos on BS.
No, listen. You know, when they come, like, yeah, for me, I just don't like responding to people that don't follow the page. I just think that's pointless because they're literally there to like antagonize. Do you get me? And I just feel like we're kind of falling for the trick. Whereas if it's a follower that has something to say, that maybe if they're not agreeing with us, then yeah. I'll give them that they deserve a response or a reply from us. But if that's
the goal. We need to reply back to them. As we'll just have, like, when the people were replying back to the whole, like, there's one woman that came up and she was just like, hey, she sent like a long text talking. I was like, girl, you didn't have to write all that long text. We're busy celebrating. Do you get what I mean? Showing them that it's getting us upset is what's going to make it even worse. But at the same time, even like, that's hence why I reply like that on BSG, but my personal, I did cuss it out a little bit, but that doesn't matter. But that's what I'm saying. That's personal, exactly. That has nothing to do. This is not associated with BSG whatsoever, guys. It's just Lucy, like my bio says, all opinions are my own. No one else's, just me, Lucy, and my dumb self. But
you're not
it
dumb,
just shows but, to yeah. you, it just shows to you like how much like we have to go through mentally for us to not be in such a sticky situation.
It's a fantastic point you make, and it's
sad, but it is what it is. Like I said, I'm gonna say again, it doesn't take away the fact that he beat Nadal earlier and he beat Federer, and next time we gonna get you Novak.
Yeah, big throw against Novak on the Saturday. And yeah, Novak just looked ridiculous in terms of considering that was his first match back since Wimbledon. And he looked like he'd never been away. Like, seeing the ball early,
I'm just telling you, completely
in the zone. And it was quite a sight, to be fair, because obviously Tiafoe is probably in the best form of his life at the moment, but he had no answers for Novak.
Listen, Novak is built different, man. He's built different. That's why I can't, like, I hate on him just for like kidding around, but I rate him as a player. Like, of course, that's never going to be taken away. And I think whenever he misses out, that's when he comes back even more hungry. I'm guessing all the frustration of him missing US Open, he just put it on the court and he did what he had to do.
No, definitely. But yeah, that Saturday was a bad day. So we had Francis losing to Novak in the evening, but in the afternoon, Felix lost to Matteo Berrettini, and that was a tight, like, three-set match. Mm-hmm. They always have tight matches, Berrettini and Felix. But yeah, at that point, Team Europe were in the lead. So I think they were like, I think two matches away from winning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, sorry. Basically, the Sunday when Felix and Jack Sock played doubles against Berrettini and Novak. If Team Europe had won that, they would have won the event.
Right, okay.
But it was Sock and Adiassime that got the win.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I never get the bloody scoring rules.
Yeah, so it's basically...
Like, it's so confusing. I've never gotten it.
It's first to two sets. But if it's one set all, they play a 10-point tiebreak.
Right. Okay.
So there's no third set. It's a tiebreak, basically a 10-point tiebreak.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking more about like the final. Like,
oh, the points score, per day.
That's a bit where I get a bit confused.
So day one, it's 1 point per match. Day two, it's 2 points per match. And day three, it's 3 points per match.
Okay.
So it's a bit of a like a head fuck, but yeah.
Yeah. Trying to keep up with normal tennis courts is already one thing.
Yeah, someone did actually say that as well. Like, oh, but like tennis never makes things easy for anybody. Like,
it's
complicated. But it's an interesting format, to be fair. But
yeah, definitely.
If Sok and Ali Yassim lost that doubles match, Team Europe would have won the event. But lo and behold, Sok and Ali Yassim put out the win. And then literally Felix comes back on that Sunday to play Novak in singles straight after winning in doubles and gets the win in straight sets against Novak. His first win against him as well. And it was a pretty like comprehensive like beating, to be fair. There was like, because I watched the second set, I didn't see much of the first set. The commentators were saying, oh, like basically Novak keeps like flexing his wrist, like he's having issues with his wrist. And I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Forget that. Like, Felix is playing like a hell of a match. Like, let's focus on that. But yeah, they're basically,
you know, they always do this anyways.
You know, but this is what I'm saying. And clearly there was like Novak.
Because he did say after the thing that he's been having a wrist problem for like 5 years. But I just hate how I've always said it. They would never give the props to the actual other players. It's always like that when you're watching Nadal and other player match, it's always like Nadal. And it's just like, can we actually speak about how great the other his opponent is playing?
But that was a massive win for Felix and Team World ultimately, because that meant Francis had to beat Stefanos Tsitsipas, and that would clinch the title for them. And it was a horrible, horrible start from Francis. Lost the first set 6-1. And then the second set was going on serve. Went to a tiebreak. I mean, we all know when it comes to tiebreaks now.
Hello! Records still going.
When it comes to tiebreaks, like, yeah, Francis is the man. So,
yes.
Yeah, he pulled out that tiebreak, leveled it up one set all, and then it was into the 10-point tiebreak to decide the match. And yeah, Francis came through in a big, big way. Like,
I love how they all ran to him.
Oh man, incredible scene!
So excited, like
incredible.
It was
scene.
Actually like so good to see.
Like, I was out like kind of running around like a madman, like preparing for the holiday. But I did come back and see, like I said, the second set and that tiebreak.
Yeah,
and Lucy, yeah, I thought, you know what? If Francis can stay on serve, he'll take the tiebreak, which he did. But I was like, all the momentum now with him is with him for the 10-point tiebreak. And that was the case, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tsitsipas is a good player, but like, I do think he can be got at like mentally, if that makes sense. So I think
that's what costed him this year, even this entire season, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Francis kind of got into his head a bit, and that's what affected the result as well as obviously Francis playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
What did you make of the performance and like you said, the scenes after, which are just incredible?
Honestly, I knew he was going to pull it. I didn't think Steph was a hard player like to beat, mainly because of the way his season has been going. And you know, I feel like Tiafoe still had the momentum, like you've been saying, from US Open. I feel like he's super pumped up, and that's just keep on going. So yeah, even when he lost the first set, I was just like, he's gonna beat this. And when he went to tiebreak, I was like, oh yeah, we got this. But because I did not really understand the scoring in bit, I didn't realize that it meant that they were winning the whole thing. So when it all ran, I was like, oh shit, like this is lit, this is even better. Like, honestly, like, I was just like, oh shit, I was like, okay, yeah, we lit. I was really happy for him. Obviously, is an additional thing. Like, you know, a lot of the quote unquote new gen, like they might get a little bit of hype and then it dies out in like a week, especially that things moving like attention. I feel like our generation have a very short attention span. Like something is making noise today and the tomorrow is apparently irrelevant. So I like the fact that it's building up right after the US Open as well. You know that I'm gonna say that I loved how he was, you know, trash talking when he was, you know, thingy. You know me, I like the competition, but trash talk is more of like in a competitive way. Do you get what I mean?
Are you talking about the Greek yogurt thing?
The Greek yogurt thing.
I didn't see that. And I think that happened. Did that happen in the second set or
I think it happened on the second set.
Yeah.
And he was definitely like pumped up and everything. Like,
because a lot of people were losing their shit about that. Like, and
do you know what? But the craziest thing is, these are the shit that players say, but just not out loud.
Facts.
But
exactly.
Tiafo is grown enough to say it out loud.
But do you know, and that's the thing about the Laver Cup. Like, it gives you like a different look because
exactly
the player. It wasn't only Francis that was like trash talking. It was everyone. You could hear the other players because they were mic'd up. Literally, they were on the couch. There's a mic, so you know the cameras are picking up the what the players are saying, and I think that adds to the whole like entertainment factor.
Listen, if it was another player who said the same thing, same race as Stefanos, they would have been like, oh, guys, look at this, it's drama. They would have been all excited because tennis Twitter love chaos anyways. Like, do you get what I mean? But because it's coming from a black man, and some even tried to compare him saying Greek yogurt to like race, and I was just don't be an idiot. Like, don't do this, please. This is not the time. But again, it doesn't matter. Why? Because Francis beat his Greek yogurt ass.
But no, it was a massive moment. And like, yeah, that was Francis's second win in a row over Tsitsipas because he beat him last year. I think it was in Antwerp or Vienna, one of the two. And obviously he beat him at Wimbledon too. Do you remember back in 2020?
Oh, yes.
Was it 2020 or 2019? I think it was 2020.
I think it was last year. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, like, it's just, basically, he's on a wave right now and he's riding that wave, like, literally, and long may it continue.
For real.
And I do think, back to Felix as well, quickly, like, this, the win against Novak, like I said, there's no ranking points, but the confidence that's going to give him, I think is pretty big as well, like quite significant. So yeah, just very, very happy, man. Like, and I did say it before the tournament, even though obviously I'm born in London, English.
I'm born in London. I'm born in London too, nigga. My passport is red as hell. Come on. Oh, you think you're the only one that's legally allowed in the UK here, huh?
My bad. I thought you were born in Senegal.
To be fair, everyone thinks this. Everyone thinks that. When I remind people that, no, I'm British. I was born in Islington.
North Londoner, yeah? Right.
North Londoner.
My bad. So yeah, let me get back to what I was saying. So yeah. Obviously we're both born and bred in London, but yeah, who were we rooting for? We weren't rooting for Team Europe, like, let's just
and I mean to be fair, was there even a British player?
Well, yeah, Murray.
Is Murray British or Scottish?
I'm Cam Murray.
See, you're part of the people that like to pick and choose when he's British or Scottish.
But no, I was team welcome from the get-go, obviously, because our two guys are there. So
listen, British by paper, African by blood, innit?
Well said. So yeah, man. Well, congrats again to Team World. And like, yeah.
For reals.
Well, specifically to Francis and Felix, like, just amazing performances. And yeah, I just hope they can, you know, build and add on, like, from the experience. And I think they will going into 2023. So yeah, a lot to look forward to on that. But before we wrap, Lucy, I do want to talk about the Davis Cup quickly. So
actually, before we talk about Davis Cup, I don't think we spoke enough about sending a very good farewell to Roger Federer.
Oh, my. Sorry.
This is an African people's life, but this is a legend.
I forgot, you know? Your goat. One of
my goat. Come on, Eugene. Yeah. I know you're hot, but let's remember a little bit here, okay?
The floor is yours. Go.
No, but for real, like I said, although I wasn't that emotional, I didn't cry, surprisingly.
Interesting. I thought you would cry, actually. I think I did message you, like, are you crying? And you're like, nah.
Nah. But do you know what? It's because I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Serena's one, for instance, I wasn't sure. I'm still not sure if she's still down.
She'll just rock up next year at Wimbledon.
Yeah. Listen, in my head, is that she's popping up. Do you get what I mean? Maybe just me having a hard time accepting that she's done. But with Roger, I've always felt like, for a long time, I felt like, I don't think he's going to win another slam. And I think it's just time for him to go. I had a lot more faith for Serena because her was just, to me, I just felt like it's more of a mental block. You can't compare there was a mental block to a physical.
There was actually a really fascinating, I will send it to you after, but there was a nice, I say nice, it was a fascinating interview that he did. I think it must have been in the lead up to the Labour Cup, as in Federer. Mm. And he said that basically after he played Ogier Yassim in Halle, that grass court event before Wimbledon.
Yeah, I remember that match specifically.
Felix beat him. He said basically that left him like feeling, he said he was demoralized because he was like, basically that confirmed that he can't compete anymore.
And I thought that was for the thingy match, the one in Wimbledon.
No, he said basically it was the Felix defeat. And then that led to Wimbledon, where he did lose to Hurkacz. Okay, but he was like, after the Felix match, he was like, wow, like I'm done. I can't actually like play to this level anymore. And considering what he's done in the game, like you'd know more than many people, but the guy and he transcends tennis really and truly. Right. Like obviously he's Swiss, but globally Federer is loved. Like wherever you go in the world, and like not even like tennis heads per se, but like just general sports fans know who Roger Federer is, and that for me that speaks volumes. Like so, yeah, the guy is a legend. Like and
100%.
Yeah, it was a nice kind of send off, like you said, in terms of having other players around him, and I think that's kind of what he wanted as well, like to have the team element, so he wasn't kind of going alone. Like he had all the guys around him, Murray, Nadal, Djokovic, and like the younger guys as well, Tsitsipas, Berrettini, Casper Ruud, Nori. Like it was nice. And his idol, who he does look up to and like really respect, in Bjorn Borg. Like that was nice. So I thought it was a nice, a fitting farewell, basically. Mm-hmm. For me. I didn't cry, but yeah, I did not laugh, but I was like, wow, like to see Nadal so emotional.
That's like, what I'm saying.
I thought that was fascinating.
Like I said earlier, I think this tournament really showed to us like, raw, like these two are mad actually close. But like he said, you know, that grew. It wasn't a thing where they
Novak cried as well, you know.
They all cried, all of them.
Novak. No, yeah. Murray didn't. Murray was keeping that stiff British upper lip, like he was not breaking tears. But yeah, Novak was barring.
No, but do you know what? It makes sense, you know. This is like you said, like this is someone that all of them looked up to. And I think it's also a hit reality for the older ones. I think it's also reality for them. Facts. It's like shit. Like
it's I'm soon. Yeah.
Bro,
I'm next.
Like and the thing is, I feel like we've been losing a lot of the big players. Mm-hmm. You get what
at
I mean?
The same time, in all
at
very
the same
close
time,
succession.
Yeah. Maria left, Del Potro left, Songa left, and then Serena, and now Serena and Federer
as well.
Same year, back to back, gone. Like tennis gods was like, we don't care about you, motherfuckers. We are going to hunt you. Like literally, like that's the thing. Is a lot. I feel like it was a mix of, damn, I'm going to miss him, but also like, raw. But or maybe even hit them as well to be like, this could be me.
Yeah, because... that's what I think it was, especially for Nadal. I think it was like a sense of realization that, wow, I'm going to be next, like basically.
Yeah. No, I mean, when I'm talking about that, I mean, but I'm also talking about looking at the impact of Federer.
Oh, okay.
Look how everyone's going crazy. Look how everyone is talking. Like, publication, L'Equipe, their front cover was Federer and he was like, God save the king.
No,
and
wow,
I was like,
yeah,
that is
hard.
Crazy.
That's
do you know what
hard.
I mean?
Yeah,
I was like,
hard.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like things like this is just, it just shows to you like his impact. And I'm pretty sure, you know, like Pete, especially someone like Novak, who's really been trying to, you know, put his legacy out there. because he's definitely the most disrespected out of the big, out all of the big threes.
And he's won the most.
Was it, and he's won the most.
It's Nadal. Nadal.
It's Nadal. Well, he's going to win the most anyways. Like, we know this. Like, that is, it's coming. Like, I've already put that. But yeah, man, like, honestly, I'm just so grateful that I have witnessed another legend. I'm glad that, you know, it's a good thing he's ending up, because I remember he did an interview before where he said, you know, I don't want like my injury affecting my everyday life.
Yeah.
And the craziest thing, Del Potro actually did an interview recently and he's saying, I'm dealing with my pain. As in, he can't drive for too long. He can't like go on the stairs for too long. Like, he actually, like he said, he can't walk for too long.
Wow.
Do you get what I mean? So at the same time, I respect his decision. Federer loves tennis. So I know, unlike Serena, we're definitely going to see his face more. And I think that's why I wasn't too emotional as well. Because I'm like, I won't be surprised the next, that's where there's the Basel tournament soon even.
Yeah.
I think it's end of this year. Anyways, I won't be surprised if like tennis tournaments, we just see him as fans watching.
They're saying the Labour Cup, he'll be like the captain of Team Europe soon.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Mm. And he even said it. He was like, this is not like, I'm going to be around. I'm just not going to be playing like professionally anymore. It was nice seeing his wife there. One thing I've loved Federer for is how highly he spoke about his wife.
Yeah.
Just like we spoke about with Serena. It's crazy how us women, we had to get up and make the sacrifices. We had to decide between our career and our family. And she picked her family. And clearly she's done a wonderful job, because there isn't a time, Frederick can be eaten and he's going to thank his wife. Like, it's actually crazy, but it just shows to you how much, like, without us knowing the details, how much he appreciates the sacrifice that she has made. And first of all, a woman carrying twins is crazy. Back to back, twice. Like, bro, shout out to her. Because also one set to her, I'd be like, nigga, we are not getting any more kids. You can go away. So, yeah, it was nice seeing them there and him crying and him saying, no, I'm happy. I think he's extremely proud of his career and we are so happy for him. And I'm just so grateful that I've experienced his legendary time in so many different ways. And yeah, again, it's not a goodbye. We're definitely going to see him again. Oh, we're definitely going to be speaking about him on this pod. He is one of the most influential tennis players that we've ever had. And yeah,
and there are, I mean, they're African roots. So his mom's South African, isn't she? So...
Oh, look at him. This is an African people love only.
But no, well said, Lucy. And I should thank you as well, because I'd never seen Roger Federer play live until Wimbledon last year.
Shouts out
to you.
I mean, so, that was my second or third time I've seen him.
You're a regular, so it's all good. but yeah, no, that was special. And I think everything you said just beautifully sums up his career and like just the impact that he's had on the sport and like him as a human being. Like, he's a special person. So definitely. Yeah, man, shouts out to Federer and all the best like in your life after tennis. But yeah, we'll definitely see more of him.
And his kids. Sure. We're definitely going to see his kids as well coming up.
Most definitely. But yeah, before we wrap, I do want to talk about the Davis Cup quickly. So Canada qualified for the finals, which will be taking place at the end of the year. And yeah, Felix, again, got some really big wins. So he beat Carlos Alcaraz of Spain. Obviously, Alcaraz coming off the back of the US Open.
Yes, I saw that.
Big win for Felix. And also Serbia's Miomir Kecmanovic. And there was also a nice moment in the Canada team. So Gabriel Diallo is a Senegalese name. So
yet to be
confirmed, but I'm going to say his dad's from Senegal. Because he's mixed race. He's mixed race.
It depends though, because he might actually be like Fula from Guinea.
Okay.
Or something. So it depends. It could be like, because Diallo is not really, is not necessarily a Senegalese name. It's more like like a Fulani name.
Oh, my. Okay.
It's more of a tribe name. Yeah. It could actually be, it could be from Guinea, could be from Mali, it can be from any. But he's African.
He's African. So yeah, he made his debut for Team Canada. He's a 20-year-old. He plays at Kentucky, so Kentucky University.
Okay, nice.
And yeah, he's a senior at Kentucky. So I guess he'll be taking the Ben Shelton route soon and going pro.
Nice.
So that's a name to look out for. And yeah, like I said, full nationality yet to be confirmed or to be confirmed.
Yes.
So
we'll double check as soon as we know,
we'll get that out there. And yeah, just quickly on the Davis Cup to close, Sweden. So the Yimmer brothers always representing. They finished third in their group, unfortunately, so they did not qualify for the finals. But again, they picked up some good wins. So Mikael Yimmer beat Yannick Sinner of Italy, which is a massive, massive win.
Yeah.
And Mikael also beat Diego Schwartzman of Argentina. So two big wins for Mikael there. And also Elias, he got a win over Sebastian Baez of Argentina. So that's someone who's ranked higher than him. But yeah, Elias pulled out the win. So always good to see the Yimmer brothers playing. And yeah, unfortunately, they didn't qualify this year, but it's been a good run for them. So shouts out to them. And just quickly before we finally close, WTA. So not much has really happened. Like, it's obviously coming towards the end of the season.
You know how it
now.
Is during this time till January.
Well, exactly. Quiet. So basically, end of October, that's it. Like, there's nothing after October. Yeah. Like,
wait, just... when's the WTA finals?
End of October. So I don't know exactly when, but it's end of October, and hopefully Coco qualifies for that. But Naomi Osaka unfortunately had to withdraw from the event in Tokyo in the second round, like due to illness. And I don't think she's due to play anymore this year. So
she's still in Japan as we speak, I think.
Oh really?
She's enjoying. Oh. I think this is her first time back there since COVID, if I'm correct. Or maybe she went during the Olympics, but obviously during that time everything was closed.
Yeah.
So it's
that is technically COVID, but
but actually it's only now, do you know, it's only now they've opened up Japan. Actually, they made an announcement, they have restrictions since, so good. I think that's why she's still there, so it's
making
open
the
now.
Most of it. So like, just hopefully we see her back and like kind of ready to go for Australia. Obviously she's a two-time winner there. And yeah, like we always say it, like we'd love to see her play more, like fill out that schedule. But obviously first and foremost, like, we wish her well in terms of her health. So speedy recovery.
Yeah, because the way people were going at it, as if she didn't want to play, like people were making it seem like she pulled out. I'm like, bro,
ridiculous.
Who the fuck is going to be flying for nearly a day all the way to Japan from LA to then just pull out because they don't want to play? And anyone that knows us, if it was not a tournament, I couldn't even get that. I won't even bother myself, but it was just like Japan, like that tournament. She's literally, every time she plays, she won it, if I'm correct. Like, she's won like two or three titles from there. And it's just like, why? Like, clearly she's not okay, but it is what it is. You know,
but well said, as usual. But yeah, Lucy, that pretty much wraps up the show. What an effort. So again, massive.
Yeah, because we went through some struggles today.
Massive.
You
massive
kept on
thank
saying,
you.
Nah, let's stop. Let's and I said, nigga, we were here. I'm here already. Let's fucking do this.
But no, I appreciate you, man. And yeah, guys.
Oh,
thank
speaking
you
of
for...
Osaka, actually, I was supposed to see her boyfriend's this weekend, the concert, but I'm not going
anymore. Oh, cool day. How come?
Yeah, because someone got me tickets for Lucky Day. And it's on the same day. And I was just like, I was like, okay, I'll just go Lucky Day.
Fair play.
I'm very gutted. I was really, because his album was definitely one of my favorite albums released this year. If you haven't listened to it, guys, highly recommend. Some good rapping. If you like some good rap songs, proper rap, definitely Corday. But I was looking forward to seeing him because the videos and like I said, I love his album. But hopefully
next time,
innit?
Indeed. So yeah, guys, thank you for tuning in as usual. Not sure when we'll be back, but yeah, it won't be too long. I think we'll probably do like a season wrap up soon, and obviously we've got the Serena special pod coming up as well, which we're still working on. So yeah, a few things to look forward to before the end of the season, but always appreciate you guys tuning in. And yeah, until next time, take care and enjoy all the tennis that's going on.